Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is our refuge and strength. O come, let us worship. The words of the Venite. Come. Let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us bow down and bend the knee, and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice. The Lord is our refuge and strength. Oh, come, let us worship. A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live." I prophesied as he had commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, "Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 130. Please join on the bolded verses of the psalm. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The canticle chosen for this morning is a song from Jeremiah. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Tell it on the far-off shores. He who scattered Israel will gather and guard them as a shepherd his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, redeemed them from a foe too strong. They will come and sing for joy on Zion's height, radiant at the bounty of the Lord, the grain, the new wine, the oil, the young of flock and herd. Their life like a watered garden, they will never want again. Then will maidens show their joy in the dance. Men, young and old, will rejoice. I shall turn their mourning into gladness, give comfort and joy for their sorrow. I shall satisfy the priests with abundance and fill my people with my bounty. The Lord be with you, and also with you. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then, after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will forgive you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you will always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of Christ. Thanks be to God.
Can these bones live? In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Whenever anyone moves to a new home, it is hard to know what to pack and what not to pack. Do we keep all of our books? No. Do we keep many of our family photos? Yes. As we all know, packing is about deciding what we really need, deciding in what to place our hope. Sometime after the year 585 before the Common Era, the prophet Ezekiel delivered the message in today's first reading to the Jewish people who were living with him in exile in Babylon. They were deciding what they really needed, deciding in what to place their hope. Their temple had been destroyed, and their holy city of Jerusalem had been plundered. They had been marched against their will to Babylon and carried very little with them. They had lost heart and suffered a death of the spirit. God recognized that they felt hopeless and gave Ezekiel an allegorical vision of a valley of dry bones. In that vision, those bones represented the whole house of Israel, who spoke to Ezekiel and said, "Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost." The meaning of that vision was this: God recognized that gradually the soul of the Jewish exiles had withered and died, and they had become as lifeless as a valley of dry bones. And so God asked Ezekiel this important question: can these bones live? God asks us the same question from time to time when we lose hope about our future. During this time of COVID-19, many are anxious and losing hope. Perhaps some of us are losing hope that things will return to normal. Can these bones live is still an important question for us today. And what is the answer? God gave Ezekiel the answer in the form of a promise that only God could give. God told Ezekiel to speak to the bones and say, "Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live." God invited Ezekiel to participate directly in this vision. And as Ezekiel spoke, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together. They reassembled with sinew, flesh, and skin. Next, God breathed life into the bones in the same way in which God breathed life into the first humans in the beginning. The bones were reanimated and stood on their feet as a vast multitude. It was a vision of recreation. And so, from his vision, Ezekiel understood that God would give his fellow exiles a new life and hope, and they would one day return to the land of Israel. Ezekiel's vision gave collective hope to a particular people at a particular time. Yet his vision also implied something more for all people in every time. It implied that God values each individual person, including their body, which expresses their unique personality. Therefore, Ezekiel's vision pointed to the additional hope that God promises bodily resurrection, and this became a central belief for both Rabbinic Judaism and Christianity. For such hope to become a reality and for individual bodies to be given life after death requires a miracle that is utterly dependent upon God and beyond our powers. For us, Ezekiel's vision is a glimpse of God's pure power, a reminder of who is in charge of preserving each individual life. Real hope lies in knowing and being connected to that source. And yet Ezekiel's vision was just that, only a vision. In today's gospel story about the raising of Lazarus, Jesus Christ began to make that vision into a reality. The raising of Lazarus was the last in a series of 7 signs in John's gospel. It signified that the visions and promises of the prophets like Ezekiel were being realized by Jesus Christ in time and history. In this story, Christ's friend Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and so he was truly dead. Christ was deeply moved and began to weep. He asked for the stone to be taken away from the entrance to Lazarus's tomb. It was as if Christ himself was in Ezekiel's valley. And so, like Ezekiel before him, Christ spoke to Lazarus's dead bones and cried, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had been dead for 4 days came forth from the darkness. It was a sign that death was not the end. However, the burial cloths that bound Lazarus's hands and feet and covered his face were a vivid reminder that death still clung to him. Death had not yet been overcome. What was going through Christ's mind in this whole story? It was something much more personal than what occurred in Ezekiel's vision of collective restoration in the Valley of Dry Bones. In his interaction with Lazarus, Christ foreshadowed his own future when he would walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We heard that first he looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. And then he cried, Lazarus, come out. So the sequence was this. First, Christ spoke to his father on behalf of Lazarus, and then he spoke directly to Lazarus. And as Christ spoke all these words, he experienced his own destiny. He experienced the sequence by which he also would learn to commit himself to his father and hope to be called out of his own tomb. He himself would learn how to wait in hope. But that is the story that we shall leave for Holy Week. This morning, let us notice how Christ recognized and acknowledged and valued Lazarus as a unique individual person whose life and friendship was continued in the presence of Christ himself and his Father and their life-giving Spirit. Let us notice how the whole Trinity drew Lazarus out of the darkness of death into their life. And the whole Trinity can draw each of us out of our own darkness, suffering, guilt, shame, or hopelessness, as well as out of the loneliness and anxiety that we are experiencing in this time of COVID-19. The Trinity can draw us into their presence just as they drew Lazarus into their presence. There, we will feel recognized and valued as individuals and will find new life and hope. Then we can extend that recognition and hope to others. Therefore, during Holy Week, let us be drawn deeper into the divine presence as Ezekiel was, as Christ was, and as Lazarus was. In that presence, let us deepen our awareness of how Christ values each of us just as he valued Lazarus. May this awareness help us to rediscover life and hope. And with this hope, let us act in Christ's eyes as we in his eyes should act. That is, let us act as Christ. For as the poet Gerard Manley Hopkins reminds us, Christ plays out his life in 10,000 places to the Father through the features of our faces. Amen.
Let us say together the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray to God, who alone makes us dwell in safety, saying, Lord, hear our prayer. For all who are affected by coronavirus, through illness or isolation or anxiety, that they may find relief and recovery. Lord, hear our prayer. For those who are guiding our nation at this time and shaping national policies, that they may make wise decisions. Lord, hear our prayer. For doctors, nurses, and medical researchers, that through their skill and insights, many will be restored to health. Lord, hear our prayer. For the vulnerable and the fearful, for the gravely ill and the dying, that they may know your comfort and peace. Lord, hear our prayer. We commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son came into the world to free us all from sin and death. Breathe upon us with the power of your Spirit, that we may be raised to new life in Christ, and serve you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. May the God of mercy transform you by his grace, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.